It's 1 minute past six. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson. In the headlines, mastermind in police recruitment scam jams bail. Minister of Communications says MPP's list of officials to face trial in Woyomi's case should include former Chief of Staff Kojum Pienim. Prosecutors asked to consider custodial sentences to avoid congestion in prisons. And Ghana's under-20 team Black Satellites lock horns with their Nigerian counterparts in semi-finals of Youth Championship in Senegal. The news in detail. The police administration has offered a 5,000 CDE bounty to any member of the public with information that will lead to the arrest of Alifa Adams, alias Kasidi or Baba, a 27-year-old unemployed, according to the head of the six-member Special Investigation Task Force probing the police recruitment scam, DCOP, Bright Odro. Alifa, who was a member of the group of suspects arrested in connection with the enlistment fraud that hit the country recently, had jumped bail, and all efforts to rearrest him has so far proved futile. He said Alifa is alleged to be the mastermind of the police recruitment scam, and his rearrest would assist the task force in its investigations and ensure that every single person behind the fraud is brought to book. Alifa is fair in complexion and of medium height, with tattoos all over the body, including both arms. He is believed to be hiding at Idum Kumasi. Anyone with information should contact the police CID or the nearest police station. The National Security Secretariat has denied freezing the accounts of COP Patrick Timbilla, who is on interdiction for his alleged complicity in a police recruitment scam. It said all matters relating to the police recruitment scam are being handled by the police administration. A statement from the secretariat said this in response to a publication in an Accra Daily. It entreated all media houses to resort to the police administration for all inquiries and information. The Minister of Communications, Dr. Omani Bwama, has reacted to the MPP charges of corruption against the NDC in the Woyomi affair, saying President Mahama is fighting corruption and is leaving no stone unturned. Dr. Omani Bwama wonders why the MPP's list of officials who must face trial did not include the Chief of Staff in the MPP regime, Kojum Pienim, and other key members of the party. Speaking to Behind the News, the Minister of Communications said the focus of the NDC to fight corruption will not be shifted.
I think that the MPP doesn't matter in this equation at all, because they are not coming to work with clean hands. We lived under the MP. The former president of the MP, the most successful Dankwa-Busia politician in this country's view of corruption and how to deal with it was that it emanated from Adam, and that if he fought it openly, he was going to destroy his government. We all can bear testimony to this. President Mahama is not taking that route. President Mahama is exposing corruption. He is ordering investigative bodies like the BNI investigate issues such as the National Service Secretariat payroll fraud. His Attorney General, Marietta Brewer Piaopong, is following through with prosecutions, even to the extent that Mr. Alfred Agbosi Woyomi feels so uncomfortable with Marietta Brew appear upon the strictness and the speed with which she followed through with her intention to appeal against the judge's ruling. I just heard the MP enumerating or insinuating some people who should have been prosecuted. I hope the list was not all, and that in the matter relating to Alfred Agbosi Woyomi, they will also be interested in action by the former Chief of Staff, Mr. Kojo Impieni, did not stand trial. I hope they will also be interested in action by their own party itself, did not stand trial, because they are on record to have admitted that Mr. Alfred Agbosi Woyomi financed their party. I hope their list also included the fact that their former general secretary, Mr. Kwejo Owusu Efriye Sejong, who has also been a beneficiary of the largesse of Mr. Alfred Agbesi Woyome, their list will also include Mr. Kwejo Owusu Efriye. We do not want to descend into such infamy. We have serious business to do.
That was the Minister of Communications, Dr. Omani Bwama. Government has identified some properties of businessman Alfred Agbesi Woyome as a first step to retrieving the over $51 million paid to him as judgment debt. It is not clear what these properties are and what government intends to do with them, although the law allows Ghana to auction them to make up for the money. Mr. Woyome was ordered by the Supreme Court last year to pay the debt. But speaking to Radio Ghana on Behind the News, Minister of Communication, Dr. Edward Omani Bwama, says government is poised to retrieve the money from Woyome.
Government is very, very interested in it. That is why I have told you, government went ahead to file the entry of judgment. What did we see? A single Supreme Court judge sitting ruled against the entry of judgment. Government did not rest there. Government further has filed for specific direction, which is before the Supreme Court. If a matter is before the Supreme Court, you are not going to jump over the heads of the Supreme Court judges to say that because you want it soon, you are just going to go against the rules and procedures of the court. Which is why even ahead of that, the Attorney General's Department has taken possession of some assets of Mr. Alfred Agbesi Woyome that they have identified. That is in their possession now in terms of the list and all. And so government's commitment towards this is very clear.
Minister of Communication, Dr. Edward Omani Bwama. Hundreds of supporters of the National Democratic Congress, NDC, led by some regional executives of the party yesterday went on a three-hour procession through some principal streets of Kumasi. The procession was to thank President John Dramani Mahama for implementing a number of development projects in the region since assuming office, and also to canvass for votes for the party in the next general election. Carrying placards with pictures of mainly ongoing projects in the region, the demonstrators marched through the streets of the city amid brass band music. The march was organized by the Organized Youth of Ashanti. The stance of Parliament on the Council District Assembly's elections will be made known today. This follows the completion of the work by the Special Committee and the subsequent laying of their report on the matter. The leadership of the House, the Committee on Subsidiary Legislation, the Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development, and the Finance Ministry were tasked by the Speaker to see the way forward on the organization of the elections. Some members of the House took issue with their colleague and Deputy Minister for Local Government and Rural Development, Nilanze Vanderpoy, for what they viewed as the sidestepping of Parliament and issuing a statement for regional ministers to take over the district assemblies. It is anticipated that their report will capture the management of the district assemblies as a new CI is formulated. Parliament in December last year passed CI 85 to give the EC the mandate to demarcate electoral areas and organize the election, but the EC went ahead to open nomination before the maturation of the instrument. This led to a legal tussle resulting in the Supreme Court directing the EC to open fresh nomination and start the entire process afresh. The president of the Institute of Public Relations, IPR Ghana, Elaine Samkwami, has called for the mainstreaming of effective PR practice into national affairs. She said since PR remains relevant to every institution, the institute will put in place structures to run specialized courses for both practitioners and non-practitioners. Ms. Samkwami was speaking at the investiture of the 2015-2016 Executive Council in Accra. Rosalind Daniel Glow reports.
The IPR president, Elaine Samkwami, said PR drives every institution, hence the need to make the institute more visible, vibrant and relevant to PR practitioners in the country. She called on the new executives and all members to sharpen their skills and perform their functions well to ensure that there is change and real progress in shaping the institute.
Image is everything. We in IPR say, and we mean it. The language with which we conduct our business impacts hugely on our national image. Under our present democratic dispensation, daily conversation about issues has become key to politics. Oftentimes, these discussions degenerate into intemperate language, which calls conversation, prevents the achievement of objectives, and leaves speakers with having to give long explanations after the fact. We would like to see fitness in our political and national discourse. PR is indispensable, both through good and bad times. The present economic challenges confronting business and governance offer us a unique opportunity to demonstrate best practice in communication and image building. Our professional code enjoins us to conduct our business with truth, accuracy, fairness, and responsibility to the public. To the elected members, I call for honest, creative endeavor and goodwill towards each other, and to all members, a resolve to make a difference and effect the needed change that we all look forward to.
In his handover speech, former president of IPR Ghana, Major Albert Don Chebe, said image and reputation should be the ultimate to every organization. Therefore, there is a need for the institute to weed out the charlatans. He was optimistic of a bright future for IPR Ghana.
Our business is image and reputation. We believe that gradually we are moving Ghana, or moving our profession, up from the low level that it existed before onto a certain platform that can help me move our country forward. All kinds of persons who can train in this way together metamorphose from one position suddenly into the other, and we urge employers, business executives, to help us weed out these charlatans. For various reasons, it has been a huge challenge for the institute.
The president of the institute was sworn in by Justice of the High Court, Industrial and Labor Division, Accra. Her Ladyship, Justice Mrs. Gifty Dechem, and the president in turn swore into office the executives.
Rosalind Ganeglo reporting. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Mastermind in police recruitment scam jumps bail. Minister of Communication says MPP's list of officials to face trial in Woyomi's case should include former Chief of Staff Kojumpe Nim. Prosecutors asked to consider non-custodial sentences to avoid congestion in prisons. Fire destroys Nigeria's Electoral Commission 2 weeks to elections. And Ghana's under-20 team Black Satellites today play their Nigerian counterparts in semifinals of the Youth Championship in Senegal. Please stay with us. Welcome back. The Minister for the Interior, Mark Oyongo, has appealed to the Attorney General and Minister of Justice, Marietta Brewer-Pierpong, to impress upon prosecutors to be mindful of the charges they prefer against accused persons. They should rather advocate non-custodial punishment when the need arises. He said the prisons are congested mainly with persons who are on remand, who should have rather been given non-custodial sentences. He said this while presenting the non-custodial sentencing policy to the Attorney General in Accra. Bele Jaqua and Benedicta Bintum have filed this report.
The policy follows a two-day forum on non-custodial sentencing by the Interior Ministry, presenting the report to the Attorney General and Minister of Justice, Marietta Brewer-Pierpong. The Interior Minister, Mark Oyongo, noted that there are already non-custodial sentencing in the law books but are not being used by the judges. As a result of this, the prisons are congested with people on remand. He said the congestion at the prisons taints the image of the country on the international human rights circuit. Mr. Oyongo appealed to the drafting office of the Attorney General's Department to look at the report and come out with a bill on non-custodial sentencing.
Indeed, and regrettably, our prisons are congested mainly with persons who are on remand, who otherwise should have been given non-custodial sentence. Unfortunately, the congestion is posing severe challenges to the Ghana Prison Service and for that matter, the government of Ghana. I would implore you to task the drafting team to look at the report, come out with a bill on non-custodial sentencing regime, which would subsequently be submitted to cabinet for approval.
The Attorney General and Minister of Justice, Marietta Bruapiopon, promised that her department will take immediate action on the report.
That report was filed by Bele Jakwa and Benedicta Bentum. An investigator at the Economic and Organized Crime Office, YOCO, Mrs. Diana Iduanani, has told the Financial Court in Accra, where former boss of NYEP, Abuga Pili, and another Philip Asibit are being tried for causing financial loss, that there were no terms of work between the then NYEP and Goodwill International, where Asibit is the head. Mrs. Anani, who was giving evidence as the one who investigated the case at YOCO, said there was no consultancy agreement between the two organizations that warranted the payment of consultancy services to Goodwill International. She said an investigation was conducted into the payments of $2 million and another 8 million Ghana cedis to Asibit. According to the witness, Asibit wrote a letter using the letterhead of the Management Development and Productivity Institute, MDPI, and described himself as a managing consultant of the institute. He indicated in the said letter that he had pre-financed consultancy services to the NYEP, which was 70% complete, and was demanding payment for those services. Mrs. Anani said further investigations conducted by YOCO revealed that Asibit's claim of being a managing consultant of MDPI was false, and that there was no joint consortium between Goodwill and MDPI. The witness said even though Asibit was demanding payment for consultancy services, officials of both the NYEP and the Ministry of Youth and Employment denied knowledge of any terms of work between NYEP and Goodwill. She said YOCO investigated further and asked Asibit to produce a document to support his claim. Mrs. Anani said Asibit submitted a fictitious document to support his claim. The defense team rejected the tendering of the document as an exhibit. The prosecution, however, prayed the court to admit the document in evidence since it is relevant to the case. The court will decide on the issue today. Ghanaian children have joined the global community to mark World Aflatoon Day in Accra. Aflatoon is the name given to clubs formed for children in schools and communities to implement a program known as Child Social and Financial Education. The aim is to help children to develop their full potential to become useful adults in future. Addressing a forum at the Mamprobisi Mpe Girls Schools in Accra, the project coordinator of SOS Children's Villages Ghana, George Yabwating, said if Ghana can achieve and sustain the Millennium Development Goals, then it needs children who will develop the spirit of patriotism, nationality, creativity, and love for one another. We bring you more.
As part of the celebration in Accra, children of the Mamprobisi Mpe cluster of schools went on a procession to highlight ideals of the day. They carried placards, some of which read, "Aflatoon is our day. Children, learn to take active role in your own development. And children, develop the habit of saving." The children also exhibited arts and craft work they have made. Franklin Fanuku is the headmaster of Mamprobisi Mpe 1 GHS.
The World Aflatoon Day is about how children are trained to become good citizens in future. It's a program which is carried out in all schools. We have clubs in all schools which we know as Aflatoon clubs. This Aflatoon club is to empower the children to grow, to become very good citizens in their community, and also to empower them to grow how to save money, time, and whatever they are to do to become a good citizen in future.
Addressing the children's day as part of the celebrations, the project coordinator of SOS Children's Villages Ghana, George Yabwat, educated the children on the SOS concept, He explained that the SOS Children's Villages are independent social developed organizations that work to meet the needs and protect the interests and rights of all children, more especially those without parental care.
It is the guiding principle of SOS that we shall help every child to develop his or her full potential. The Aflatun program, which is also known as the Child Social and Financial Education, helps children to unearth their talent so that they can grow up to become responsible citizens of the nation. That is why SOS is fully involved in this program. We are the sponsors. We organize them through the school steering committee or the heads of the schools and the teachers. The program is meant to develop the full potentials of the children. It's also aimed at making sure that children will not go wayward as they grow up. We want to make sure that these children will grow up to become full and responsible citizens of the society so that they can contribute their quota to the nation.
Mr. Boateng urged the children to take their lessons seriously and participate fully in their Aflatun class.
That was a report on World Aflatun Day celebration in Accra. Ghana is to host an African regional conference and exhibition on light and light-based technologies for Africa's development from the 26th to the 28th of May this year. The conference is expected to create a platform that will open up science and technology for appreciation by policymakers, politicians, social commentators, and industrialists. The Minister of Education, Professor Jane Nana Pokwajiman, made this known at the official launch of the celebration of International Year of Light and Light-Based Technologies 2015 in Ghana. She said the event stands to promote the central role of light in enhancing opportunities in using light and light-based technologies for the benefit of humankind. Yaya Kwamwa has father's report.
The 21st century has witnessed the emergence of light and its derivatives as an important cross-cutting research tool to promote new technologies for sustainable development and poverty reduction. The Minister of Education, Professor Jane Nana Opoku-Adjuman, said the celebration of the International Year of Light and Light-Based Technologies presents the avenue for light-enabling advancement in medical communication, energy, and agriculture. She said, four expected outcomes of the celebration are envisaged. These are the upgrading of a laser and fiber optics center at the University of Cape Coast into a full-fledged institute, the establishment of a sub-regional laser medical application laboratory, the establishment of a solar technology research center, and the establishment of a museum of light and light-based technologies.
I have endorsed the other objective of upgrading our existing laser and fiber optics from the University of Cape Coast into a full-fledged institute of excellence that will build the capacity in laser and fiber optics in our region. I as well look forward to programs of study that focus on solar technology in all of our educational institutions. I will take this opportunity to call on the private sector in Ghana and our development partners to participate in actualizing these objectives for the benefit of industry and for Africa as a whole. As a contribution to the celebration of the International Day, Ghana will host an Africa Regional Conference and Education from 26 to 28 May of this year.
A professor of laser and optical physics of the University of Cape Coast, Professor Paul Kingsley Bua Basua, explained the benefits the country stands to gain in hosting the Light-Based Technologies Conference.
We want to bring the global awareness, first of all, what light is and what it can do. And we are using this year to bring out the potential of what light can do across board, from art, culture, medicine, communications, health, agriculture, and all other areas. And if these things materialize, then the ordinary man can benefit from the fruit of what light can do. It's also energy involved. So this is an opportunity also to see how we can tap the solar energy using our engineers to have the energy mix to support our energy consumption in this field.
Professor Basua said, Africa as a continent needs to do more to beef up the use of internet as their European counterparts.
That was a report by Yahya Kwamwa. Proper procedures and critical thinking are needed to manage the aftermath of disasters effectively, such as the case with the scourge of Ebola in the three West African countries, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and the Gambia. at a high-level ministerial encounter at the 59th session of the CSW in New York. ECOWAS Ministers of Gender and Women Affairs issued a communique asking for resources to cater for displaced people, as the disease affected women the most and has left quite a number of children orphaned. Theresa Uzuako has come through with this report.
The Ministers of Gender and Women Affairs from the three countries presented pathetic reports on their experiences. There were marked similarities. Let's hear what happened in Liberia.
Affected greatly. Most of our cross-border women were stranded in neighboring countries for days, weeks, and months because borders were closed to them. Our farmers, our women farmers, couldn't farm because of the Ebola disease. Our students were out of school, health services were shut down, pregnant women were having babies on the streets. From June of 2014 to October, Liberia stood still. But the impact of Ebola, which is more evident in Liberia, is the issue of orphans. And what has been documented with our partner UNICEF, 3,707 orphans, of which 1,798 are boys, 1,909 are girls.
Liberia's Minister of Gender, Julia Duncan Casel, the communique declared total commitment to fighting for the complete eradication of Ebola and the return to normal life in the affected country.
That was a report by Theresa Owusu-Akwo. A fire at the Nigerian Independent National Electoral Commission in Abuja last Saturday night wiped out parts of the warehouse of the commission, with just 2 weeks to the country's presidential election on March 28. The fire, which lasted more than 4 hours, was brought under control by firefighters at the warehouse, which is located at the INEX Electoral Institute. Although eyewitnesses who got to the scene before security personnel cordoned off the area claimed that the fire consumed electoral materials, the commission insisted the materials were those used for the 2012 elections. The director of security at the institute, Shetima Ingilada, blamed the fire on Nigeria's version of Dumso Dumso. Before announcing the February postponement, the chairman of the commission, Professor Atahiru Jaga, assured the country that all sensitive electoral materials have been secured and others on their way would be protected in vaults of the nation's central bank. One of the fiercest ties in youth football will be waged this evening when Ghana's Black Satellites cross of swords with the Nigerian arch rivals, the Flying Eagles, in the semi-final stage of the CAF Africa Youth Championship, slated for the Leopold Sida Senghor Stadium in Senegal. It is one gut-wrenching contest many followers of the continental game have been waiting for, though they would have found a clash in the grand finale more irresistible. The Satellites are chasing their fourth silverware in the history of the campaign, but their more illustrious opponents seek for a seventh. Already the two opponents have met 2 times in Accra friendlies ahead of the tournament, with the Eagles getting the better of the Ghanaians. First, it was a grueling 2-2 draw, but the Nigerians proved their mettle, winning the second game 2-0. That is the psychological strength with which the Eagles hope to carry into the evening's adventure, which is expected to kick off at 5 p.m. And now to end the news, the main point again. Alifa Adams, alias Kasidi or Baba, a 27-year-old unemployed, believed to have masterminded the police recruitment scam, has jumped bail, and all efforts to rearrest him has so far proved futile, according to the head of the 6-member Special Investigation Task Force probing the police recruitment scam. DCOP Bright Odro, the police administration, will give 5,000 CDs to any member of the public with information that will lead to his arrest. and barely 2 weeks to Nigeria's presidential election, fire has destroyed the Nigerian Independent National Electric Commission, wiping out parts of the warehouse of the commission. The fire, which lasted more than 4 hours, was brought under control by firefighters at the warehouse, which is located at the INEX Electoral Institute. The news was broadcast from Radio Ghana, Accra.